In 1989, at the age of 42, Del Fezenfeld, the founder of Life Action Ministry, passed away from a brain tumor. Prior to his death, after a season of what many thought was sleep, Del came to with consciousness and he prayed a profound prayer. Lord, bring back your glory to the church. Send the fire. Turn the hearts of your people. May they know that you alone are God. A cry for God to send his spirit and power, that whether it be in wind, fire, or rain, come, Lord Jesus, come. Like the cry of Moses when he asked God to spare the nation from destruction. Or when the Israelites came together to grieve after the ark of God had been stolen and the nation had lost the glory of God. Like the cry of Psalm 85 when broken hearts looked toward heaven and pleaded, "Will you not revive us again? That you may rejoice in your people," or when Isaiah cried, "Oh, that you would burst forth from the heavens and come." We believe here at Temple Baptist Church that God has called us to saturate the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel. And we've already shared with you that we're a sending church and we're a giving church, but what we want to be also is a church that is known as a praying church. We want to cultivate a culture of prayer. If you study the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, you know that Solomon prevailed much in prayer at the dedication of the temple. But it was when God's people gathered together and their voice of praise was joined in one voice that God brought glory that filled his house. As a matter of fact, 2 Chronicles 5 says, "In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord saying, 'He indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting,' then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." This morning we're going to have a prayer service. We want to fill this place with adoration. We want to fill this place with confession. We want to fill this place with thanksgiving. And we want to fill this place with supplication. But I want you to listen to this clip by Jim Cimbala as we begin our time of adoration so that you can understand the significance of prayer in the early church. Would you listen?
But what I want to say to you is that God's work from the very beginning is not like you and I often imagine it. God's work, God's house, the Christian religion is always supposed to have the aroma of prayer. Preaching, yes, but not my house shall be called a house of preaching. Music, yes, but my house shall not be called a house of music. My house shall be called a house of prayer. There were choirs, but it was called a house of prayer. There was the reading of the word, but my house shall be called a house of prayer. So the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ died and resurrected and went back to heaven, and he began his church, which the gates of hell shall not prevail against, he kept the same line running through the formation of the church, which was in his Father's house. Have you ever noticed that the Christian church was not born while someone was preaching, but while people were praying? Have you ever noticed that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when the church was born, they were doing nothing but just waiting on God and praying? And they were just sitting there, and as they were praying and worshiping and waiting and having heart communion with God, and God shaping them and cleaning them out and building faith into them and doing those heart operations that only the Holy Spirit could do, the church was born, the Spirit was poured out. my house shall be called house of prayer. In the fourth chapter, Peter and John are arrested, and they're slapped around and threatened. Don't you preach anymore in that name. And what do? They don't go and protest. They don't go to the Supreme Court. They don't try to get some political leverage. They go back to a prayer meeting. They go back and say, behold the threat. Oh God, look how they're threatening us. But oh God, we lift our voices together to you. Oh God, behold their threats and give your servants boldness that we might preach the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And the place where they prayed again was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. My house shall be called house of prayer. They had this instinct. When in trouble, pray. When intimidated, pray. When challenged, pray. When persecuted, pray. When you're in trouble, pray. And that same Apostle Paul, when he writes to Timothy and he wants to encourage him how to do God's work, he says this: first of all then, I want supplications. First of all, in your church, Timothy, first of all, before anything else, supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving to be made for all men. That's first of all. It doesn't matter what your tradition is or what American Christianity says. The Word of God says, first of all then, I want supplications, because we got to remember, Timothy, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Later on in the same chapter, he says, and then I remember, Timothy, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting, and I want them to pray. That's the sign of a Christian church.
You know, one of the key components of your prayer life should be adoration. And adoration is a vocal expression of desire and esteem towards God. And right now, in this moment, I want to ask you to just simply be seated. And I want you to spend some time adoring and praising Him. Just bow your heads and tell God how wonderful He is. Name His attributes. Pray to Him. You can do so out loud. If you want to stand, you stand. Whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do, we want you to do. But right now, just adore Him. Just tell Him how wonderful He is. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for His majesty. Praise Him for His power. Lord, you are glorious. Lord, you are mighty. Lord, you're beautiful. Just tell Him. Amen. Just tell Him. Just tell Him. Look this way if you would. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Do you agree with that? That's why we adore Him in prayer. Psalm 22:3 says, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. And when you pray, there ought to be a season of adoration where you just tell Him how wonderful and good and glorious and great He is. He inhabits the praises of His people. But the Bible also says that when we pray, there ought to be a season of confession. Andrew Murray said, God cannot hear the prayers on our lips often because desires of our hearts after the world cry out to Him much more strongly and loudly than our desires for Him. The word confess in the Bible means to agree with God. And so confession is to verbalize our spiritual shortcomings and to admit that we have sinned. Oftentimes when we pray, we say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Well, I believe God wants us to get really specific about our sin. I want us to stand and read aloud together Psalm 32, verse 1 through 5. And these are considered one of the penitent psalms. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to read this congregationally. And I realize that this is a different kind of service, and you're used to just kind of sitting there and listening, but we want you to pray and to participate. I want us to read aloud together the first five verses of Psalm 32 as a confession. And then after we've confessed through reading Scripture, we're going to sing a song, Lord, I Need You. And we're going to enter into a season of prayerful confession of our sins to the Lord. Would you read this aloud with me? How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we gather for worship, worship is not about someone doing something for you. It's together we come before the living Christ. The Bible says when we praise him, he inhabits the praises of his people. But when we gather, we should confess. Maybe we need to confess to someone else. Maybe we need to simply confess to the Lord. Right now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about what is in your life this week, this morning, this month, maybe for a long time. There's someone here this morning that you're bound up in sin, and the starting place is to agree with God about what he says about your sin. And so I'm going to invite you this morning. We have pastors all around this room. We have deacons that are here. But this morning, right now, the altar is open. The altar, the word altar in the Bible means a place of sacrifice. And you say, boy, if I go down there and pray, somebody's going to think, boy, they know what my sin is. Well, you know what? If they're thinking that way, they're thinking the wrong thing. They need to be thinking about their own sin. Amen? Now, I'm not asking everybody to come. It may be that God tells you to kneel in your seat where you are, or to sit down, or to remain standing, or come to the altar. But right now, we need to confess our sin. Is there anything in your life that you need to agree with God? You need to quit covering it up. You need to quit explaining it away or excusing that sin. Gossip, lust, adultery, pornography, theft, anger, bitterness, resentment. What is the sin in your life between you and God that you need to confess to him today? Whatever it is between you and the Lord. Aren't you glad we have a high priest? You can go to Jesus. You don't have to come through me. So right now, as they play, this is what we call a season of confession. And we're going to come out of this season of confession singing, Just As I Am. Because the only way you can come to Jesus is just as you are. So right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you confess to the Lord? Do you need to come to the altar? Do you just want to come down here and kneel and pray and say, God, here I am? Do you want to kneel in your seat? Whatever you feel led to do, just tell God right now the sin that is in your life that you agree with him about. Be specific. As you pray, just be really specific with the Lord. Lord, as we come to you this morning, sometimes, God, it's really easy to come to church and to sing the songs and listen to the message and to pretend like everything is okay and nobody knows what's going on in our hearts or our minds. And Lord, sometimes we think that nobody can see through us, and they usually can. But God, you know. God, you know when I've lied. You know, Lord, when I've been angry. You know, Lord, when wrong thoughts have entered my mind. You know, God, when I'm selfish. God, every one of us in here this morning, your word tells us there's not one thing that we can hide from you. And that just as David said, our sin, God, is ever before us. And God, this morning there are people that have come here and they are so burdened down by their sin. God, they want to find relief. They want to find victory. But God, they desperately need to come to you today, and we all need to come to you, and we need to confess them. And Lord, we need to name specifically the things in our life. And so God, we come today and we say, Lord, you died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, not just that we might have victory over sin, death, and hell in the grave, but that we might walk in that victory every day. And so God, we come, we confess everything to you right now, Lord. We tell you. And we say, Lord, just as we are coming to you this morning and we're crying out to you and we're saying, God, we need to be forgiven. We need to experience your grace. We need your mercy. And Lord, without you, we have no hope. But with you, there is gracious mercy and goodness and kindness and hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your death on the cross. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for telling us that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so today, Lord Jesus, we come and we say, here we are confessing to you anything in our life so that we may walk in cleanness and that we may walk in purity. Just tell him right now. Just tell him. What is it you haven't told him? I want you to be seated for a moment. And I want to give you some instructions about this next part of our prayer time. We've adored him. We've confessed our sin to him. And then we want to give God thanksgiving. And in a moment, we're going to receive our offering. And I think maybe they may have been passed a little early in a few spots, and so we're going to need to pass the offering plates again. And let me tell you why. Sometimes people think that the offering is a way to collect money. It's not. It is, but it's not only that. The offering is a way that we express thanksgiving through giving to God. But we want you to do something today a little different. I want you to reach into the chair back, and there should be an index card. And if there's not one there, there should be, but find a piece of paper. And here's what we're wanting to do. In a moment, the choir is going to sing a beautiful, beautiful song. And for the first 90 seconds of that song, I want you to write down something that this week you are thankful to God for. I don't want you to put your name. I don't want to know who you are. But here's what we want you to do. We want you to understand that thanksgiving differs from praise and that praise focuses on who God is. But thanksgiving focuses on what God has specifically done for us. When we give thanks, we give God the glory for what he has done for us. And when we worship or give praise, we give God glory for what he is in himself. So here's what we're going to do this morning that's a little different. In a moment, before we receive the offering, I want you to write on that piece of paper, God, I am thankful for something specific he's done for you. And when the offering plate is passed, when you do like I do and you reach in your pocket to give your offering this morning, I don't want you just to give your financial gift of thanksgiving. I want you to put an offering of thanksgiving that you've written down in the offering plate to say, God, thank you for how good you are to me. And then if our ushers will kind of watch, I'll just give you a signal. And at that point, you'll begin receiving these offerings of praise and the financial offering today. And then the choir's going to, they're going to bless you this morning, and we'll continue in giving God thanks and praise. So right now, would you just take a moment to begin to write down something to tell God you're thankful for? He's worthy of all thanksgiving, isn't he? Give him praise this morning. Just tell him you love him. Just please remain standing. When we say as a church that we want to cultivate a culture of prayer, it's why every second Sunday night of the month we have a house of prayer gathering in the refuge. It's why we have a 24-hour prayer ministry that Wayne Ross has been helping us lead. He's led that for I don't know how many years, but right here in my hand is a stack of answered prayers that have come through our prayer ministry in the prayer room alone. It's why we have a boiler room ministry that every Sunday, right now while you're gathering, there are people praying for you. It's why when you leave here today, there are people with t-shirts on that are saying, can I pray for you? Because we believe that prayer makes a difference. We want to adore him, adoration when we pray. We want to confess our sins when we pray. We want to be thankful for what God has done for us when we pray. But there's another part of prayer, and we're gonna come to the end of our service with this part, and that is supplication. Now, whenever we talk about prayer, there's intercession. Intercession is prayer for others, prayers offered on behalf of others. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. John Calvin says about intercession, our prayer must not be self-centered. It must arise not only because we feel our own need as a burden, which we must lay upon God, but also because we are bound up in love for our fellow men that we feel their need as acutely as we do our own. To make intercession for men is the most powerful and practical way in which we can express our love for them. I'm going to stop right here, and I want to ask you to do something. No one has to pray out loud. No one has to do this. If you feel led to turn to a small group of people around you and let someone in that group volunteer to pray for your group, you don't have to tell them what your need is. You can pray with your spouse, or you can pray by yourself. But intercession is praying for one another. We just found out that Jonathan and Betsy Gary are going to have a little girl. Well, somebody needs to pray for them in that group. Yeah. I know that there's lots of folks in here this morning that need prayer. But why don't you get into some small prayer huddles? One person, volunteer to pray. Not a lot of talking. We're not going to be long. Just right now, why don't you pray for one another? Get in a prayer huddle and pray for somebody. If you're uncomfortable, just bow your head. Nobody will bother you. You just pray right where you are. It's okay. Would you stand and turn this way when you finish with your group of prayer? I said to you that to intercede means to plead or meditate on behalf of another person. Well, to supplicate or to make petition means to ask or entreat someone for something. And that's when we ask God for ourselves. This morning, what we want to do is we want to pray for you and with you. Paul said, pray without ceasing, and we want to be that kind of church. This morning, spread out all across this auditorium are deacons, and I'm going to ask our deacons to be on the watch. On the landings, we have pastors, and all down the front, our pastors are going to come, and this is going to be a time of prayer that we're going to either intercede for you, or you're going to bring something to God that you need to bring to Him yourself and ask for God to do for you. If you're here today and you say, I want to know God, but I have never turned from my sin and personally trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, then I want you to come to the altar, take a pastor by the hand and say, I'd like to talk with you. Or you can simply go right out these doors to our counseling area and we'll be glad to help you there. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Darrell, I need somebody to pray for me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to either step out into an aisle, or I want you to come to the altar and pray on your own, or ask us to pray for you. Do you need to pray over physical healing? Do you have a financial crisis in your life? Do you have a pain or a burden in your heart? Do you have a need for a loved one? What is it that you want us to pray for you about? And if you will raise your hand, a deacon will look, they'll find you. You don't even have to tell them what it is. Somebody will find you and pray for you. Or if you want to come and ask one of our pastors to pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you need Jesus, don't leave here without knowing Him as your Savior and Lord. But God's house is to be a house of prayer. And that's what God wants us to be, a place of prayer. We're going to sing praise as we pray. Paul's going to come and lead us right now. And as we sing, if you want someone to pray with you or over you or for you, you either raise your hand or come and we'll pray for you. Father, I pray that as we sing this song, that many will let us pray for them. And that God, your Spirit would move in great power. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.